Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. We are so happy to have you here and looking forward to this time together. And as we're starting out, as we usually start out, we start out with prayer. So let's do that. Father, as we contemplate how blessed we are because of the mothers that you've placed in our lives, we ask you that as we look at this very interesting mom from the scriptures, that we would draw from it exactly what you want us to. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples. But mostly, Lord, thank you that those examples point us to the person of Jesus Christ. And we look to him because he is our salvation. So thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I was contemplating also, just talking about my mom a little bit. My mom has been a blessing to me over the years. She was the person that led me to Christ. She was the person that gave me a love for his word. She had dedicated me to the Lord even before I was born. She had received Christ before my birth, and so that was a crucial time in her life. And she thought, what better way to honor the Lord than by saying, this child, my children, I want them to honor the Lord. And so I want to remember that, and I pray that my life honors the Lord. When we think about our moms and the impact on our life, there are some funny stories that come to mind too. We've all got stories about their mom. I read this story about this 15-year-old boy who came home from school. He found his mother lying in her bed, and he got worried and said, "Mom, are you okay?" And she said, "Well, I'm feeling a bit sick." And so the boy just stiffened up his back, and he said, "Don't worry about dinner, Mom. I'll be happy to carry you down to the stove." That's pretty much how it is very often. I was looking at this book entitled The Price of Motherhood. Look at that subtitle: Why the Most Important Job in the World is Still the Least Valued. I like this section here where they quote, she quotes, the author quotes, Theodore Roosevelt. It says, "The good mother, the wise mother," listen to this, "is more important to the community than even the ablest man. Her career is more worthy of honor and is more useful to the community than the career of any man, no matter how successful." She goes on writing, that was Theodore Roosevelt, she goes on writing, she says, "When my son was small, we loved to read The Giving Tree, a book about a tree that gave a little boy apples to eat, branches to climb, and shade to sleep under. This made them both very happy. As the boy grew into a man, the tree gave him apples to sell for money, then her branches to build a house, and finally her trunk to make a boat. When the boy became a tired old man, the tree, by now nothing but a stump, offered him all she had left to sit on and rest. I would read the last line, and the tree was happy, with tears flowing down my cheeks every time. The very definition of a mother is selfless service to another." And isn't that true when you stop and think about the fact that every one of us at some point is dependent upon a mom? Every one of us. They brought us into the world. There's another funny story that I see here. Think of all the things that mom has taught you. Do you ever think about them? This person did. He said, "My mother taught me about religion when she said, 'You better pray that comes out of the carpet.' My mother taught me about time travel. 'If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week.' My mother taught me about logic. 'Because I said so, that's why.' My mother taught me foresight. 'Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you get into an accident.' My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. And my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Well, as I said, today we can't say enough about moms. So let's look at this mother from the book of Judges. I hope you have your Bible there and open to Judges chapter 4. And she may not be remembered, this judge we're going to be looking at, her name is Deborah. She may not be remembered for this aspect of her life. Many times on a Mother's Day, we'll hear messages about Eve. We'll hear messages about Hannah or Mary. But we're looking at the book of Judges, and we meet this mother named Deborah. And remember the book of Judges? Remember when we were working through it a few months back? This is a book that's full of this cycle of sin. And so I want to remind you of that cycle of sin. We start out here, and Israel does evil in the eyes of the Lord. And this just seems to be the pattern here. God punishes Israel, and Israel is enslaved. Israel cries out to the Lord. Then God raises up a judge. Israel is delivered, and then peace is in the land, and Israel serves the Lord. But it doesn't take long for that cycle to continue over and over and over again. And this is kind of a reminder to you and me that this is what our life looks like when we take our eyes off the Lord. This is what our nation looks like when it takes its eyes off of the Lord. This is what any group of people, the Lord is to be worshipped. The Lord is to be looked to for wisdom and understanding, for our salvation. If we look to anything else, this is what the cycle leads to. And God in his graciousness allows us to go through those things. So we go, oh, we need you. And we go to the one that is best for us. The one that was he created us in this way to meet those needs. And in the book of Judges, it says this, and this is what the pattern was in the book of Judges. Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And isn't that what our days look like? I mean, when you stop and think about it, that's what our days truly look like. That somebody says, that's my truth, that's your truth. And the reality is, there is a truth, and if we held to it, that would make a huge difference in our lives. And so this lady named Deborah is raised up by God in this place because of this continuous cycle. And so because of the problem, a judge needs to step in. And so this person comes and does just that. And so we're in Judges chapter 4, and I want you to take a look at the first verse there. It says, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. Ehud was another judge. He had been used of God to bring the people back, and then they started to sin again, and so God had to do what he did. Well, let's keep going here. Verse 2, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, okay? And he lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. And so we see that there's a need for somebody once again to these chariots. That's like the stealth bombers of today. That was the highest level of warfare machinery at the time. And so there's no hope for these people in Israel. There's no hope, but God does what he needs to do. And so point number one in your outline today is she sees. She sees. Look at verse 4 with me. Now Deborah, a prophetess. So I'm going to stop right there. A prophetess. She's called a prophetess. And a prophetess is the feminine word of the word prophet. And there are few women in the Bible that are called prophetesses. Miriam, the sister of Moses, was one of them. That was in Exodus 16. Huldah, She was in Jerusalem when, under King Josiah in 2 Kings 22. Isaiah, the prophet, his wife was a prophetess. And so we have a prophetess married to a prophet. And then Anna, if you remember the Christmas story, Anna was the one that was in the temple and when Jesus was born. In Luke 2, she was called a prophetess. And then Philip's four daughters in Acts 21 were called prophetesses. And so that's it. Usually the role of prophet was a male situation. And so the role of prophet was basically this. They would hear from God and then speak for God. Okay? So they were ears and then they were a mouth. They were Old Testament radios. They were used of God to speak the truth to the people so that they received what they needed to receive. They transmitted the message from God. And so we have this lady here. Her role is prophetess. And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about the whole idea of somebody speaking the word of God. I like this story. It says, there was a group of scholars who were arguing about which translation of the Bible is best. And this group of scholars were together, and the old guy in the group said, I like the King James Bible. There's something about that KJV, the old King James Bible. And it's kind of that line you hear, if it's good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. And then a younger scholar says, no, I like the New Living Translation, the NLT. It's fresh, it's contemporary, its language is dynamic, and I think this captures the spirit of the original text. And then this third guy comes along and he says, no, I like the ESV. I like the English Standard Version. I think it's the best combination between the old and the new. It strikes that balance. And then there's the fourth guy that steps up. He goes, no, I like the NASB. I like the New American Standard Bible. That's just so accurate, and it captures word for word the intent of the Greek language. That might all be Greek to you, but there are discussions that people have about those kind of translations. But listen to this next guy. He's in the background. He says, I like my mother's translation the best. And they laughed. They said, your mother's translation? He said, yes, my mother's translation. She translated it. She translated every page of the Bible into her life. And it's been the most convincing translation I've ever seen. She lived it out. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that what God has called us to do? We know what he means. And that's the calling in our lives. And you do know that if you had a mom, and if you have a mom that loves the Lord and desires to seek the Lord, and not perfect, but wants to be what she needs to be before God and before you, you're blessed. I like this line from Abraham Lincoln. He said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. And the godly mother sees what God has said, and they live it out in word and in deed. She sees. And so we see here that this lady Deborah was a prophetess. Well, secondly, point number two, she cleaves. Let's keep going in verse 4 here. It says, now Deborah was a prophetess, the wife of Lappidot. Now that's an interesting name, Lappidot. Now I want you to notice this. Before she became a big deal, she was the wife of Lappidot. It wasn't written down that Lappidot was the husband of Deborah. It was the other way around. There's a willingness to honor her husband here. I like in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says this, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. So that's the calling of a husband to a wife. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's the calling of God. Be willing to honor the husband. That's a huge step in communicating what God has said to do. And that is the calling of a wife. And so I want to encourage you couples that love one another. You need to love one another. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husband. The children are watching. And what it's teaching your children is something that you want to honor God. And so Rebecca was a prophetess, and she was also a wife. She sees and she cleaves. Point number three, she leads. She leads. Look again at verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, a wife, was judging Israel at the time. She was a judge. Look at verse 5. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for her judgment. Now there were 12 judges. She's called a judge. She's the only female judge. And remember, judges in the Bible did not mean this. Okay, so to get an idea of what a judge is or what it's not. A judge in the Bible did not mean that she would sit in the corner and be judgmental. She didn't say, I can't believe that she's wearing that dress. I cannot believe what he just said. It's not that type of person, hyper-judgmental. She was not a judge in a courtroom either. She did make judgments, but more than that, she governed, she led, she contended, she defended. So think about that as a mom. Let me read those again. She governed, you know that goes on. She led, she contended, she defended. And then here was her main role. It says in Judges 2, verse 16, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Boy, they were liberators. These judges were defenders. They were freedom fighters. And you think about that, that sounds like a mom. You think about the whole role of mama bear. I watch moms. I watch you moms, how you take care of, and what a blessing to have you in the life of your children. Better than anybody else is the role of a mom in that place. They notice, they see. Let me read to you from Judges chapter 2, verse 17 and beyond there. It says, yet they did not listen to their judges. So even after God placed these in their lives, yet they did not listen to their judges. For they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. And so we see that this mom was not listened to, okay? This judge was not listened to or was put aside after they got the victory, and then God had to raise up a new judge, and the cycle would continue. And so she sits under a palm tree, and in the book of Psalms, it talks about a palm tree. It says, the righteous flourish, Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And so she had this palm tree. You see there in verse 5, she had a palm tree named after her, the palm of Deborah. And so Deborah led the people of Israel. Well, number 4 here, point number 4, she mothers. And we don't see that in chapter 4. And I want you to notice, if you look at 4 and 5 of the book of Judges, chapter 4 is the narrative of what happened. Chapter 5 is a song. Isn't that interesting? A song is written afterwards. And so look at chapter 5 and beginning at verse 6. It says this, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. And so people were scared. And so they would go other routes because it was the day when it was out of control. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. This is Deborah singing this song. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. You see that some people here don't think that she necessarily had children. This is a metaphorical way of describing her. She might have had children, but she's calling herself a mother of Israel. And I want you to remember, because sometimes when there's a Mother's Day message, it is a difficult time for those that have not been able to have children. These are hard words. These are hard days for people that want to have children. But the Lord has used so many in the lives of so many others that weren't biologically moms, but they came in a role of mother. I remember when I was growing up and there were ladies that worked in the children's church. They weren't married, they didn't have children, but those ladies poured into my life. I have a lady that poured into my life in a difficult time in my life, Mrs. Kuykendall, and she came alongside me as a mom, and I thank the Lord for her. I am so blessed because of her ministry in my life. Her and her husband had 6 children, and they still allowed me to be into their home for meals, for conversations, staying overnight. I would get in trouble just like her kids because I was considered one of her kids. And I look back at that time, and it was a difficult time in my family's life. But because of this person's ministry in my life, I am a blessed person, and I'm so grateful to her. Well, she wasn't biologically my mom, but she took on that role in a very serious way, and I'm blessed because of it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in a place where you don't have children, that's a ministry that you can have. Even if you do have children, I want you to remember that there's people like me and others that if God places them in your life and it's acceptable in your home with your husband and that whole thing, that you would not believe the ministry that you could have. We had opportunity to have foreign exchange students in our home, Gustavo and Pablo. Gustavo was from Brazil, Pablo was from Spain, and I thank the Lord for being able to spend that time with them. And that was my wife's idea. And because of that, we are so blessed to this day of communication with them and what has happened in their lives. I'm just so grateful. And so this lady, Deborah, was a mother to Israel. And she just had a great impact. And I want you to know that many times, the mothers that step into these roles. There's people that would do that in schools where they step in and they're school moms, basically, and they lovingly pour into the lives of others. There's an old saying that says this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And I really believe that mothers that take that role serious, women that take that role seriously, obviously, men can step in and help with working with children, but there's something special about these moms and others that have stepped in and done that work. So she sees, she cleaves, she leads, and she mothers. And lastly, point number 5, she fights. Look at chapter 4, verse 6 through 10 here. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give them into your hand. Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she's such a strong woman leader that this general says, "I'll go, but only if you go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. And so Barak would go if she goes. And this is the point of this. A godly mom fights for the right things. Not so their child is popular or they never have any conflict. They fight for their child to be godly, to do the next right thing. They fight for what is right. And why do they do it? It's because it's their calling. It's what they know they should be doing. The title of today's message is No Charge. And years ago, there was a country song that was written. And I'm going to play in a moment, or have play, a video of this lady, Shirley Caesar, singing it. There was many that covered the song. Melba Montgomery was one of them. It's an old country song. And I remember listening to that, and you'll see the lyrics, and it's got that twang to it back in the day when it was sung. The one that you're going to be hearing is by a gospel singer. But I remember I lived on our block. There were a bunch of people that actually grew up in Arkansas, and they came up to Chicago to find work. And we had all different groups of people in our neighborhood there in Chicago. And Barb Scribner, Mrs. Scribner, I was talking to her about that song, and I was kind of making fun of it. And she goes, "Oh, Mark, that song is such, it's so truthful. It's so," and she sat me down and had me, when it came on, she had me listen to it with her. And I just think back on that. And I was making light of it. And the reality was, as I became a parent, as I watched my wife as a mother, Mrs. Scribner became smarter and smarter as the years have gone by. And so I could name, I've named a few for you already. I've named my mom, obviously. I've named Mrs. Kuykendall. I've named Mrs. Scribner. I could keep going on of mothers that I grew up in the church with, mothers that were in the school system with the PTA, moms that when we were raising children, my wife and the mothers that were a part of the church families that we've been in. There is example after example after example. And this song that you're going to listen to in a moment says it all. But it wraps up with the fact that all of that is true, but ultimately, the mom whose life is changed because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that's what makes a difference. This song says a great message, and at the end, don't miss what is trying to be communicated. Let me pray, and then we'll go into that song. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. And I ask you, Lord, to encourage moms today. Maybe there's one here and they're just at the end of their rope, or they just don't feel that they are being used or that they're effective. And God, I'd ask you to push that lie aside, and I'd ask you to use this message to encourage them. They are such a blessing. Help them to realize it's not about being perfect. It's about leaning on you. You're the one that does the work of sanctification. Thank you. And thank you so much for Jesus, who did what he did for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
My sister's little boy came into the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, She took it in her hands and she read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. If I'm making up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. And for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and 1,000 memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctor, you prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears and the coughs through the years, there is no charge. Charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, you know, when I think about that, I think about the day that Jesus went out on Calvary and gave his life as a ransom for me. When I think on the words, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like to think that the very minute that he shedded his blood, my debt was paid in full. And I want you to know today, when you're